This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to manage your own stress and burnout as a mediator. Protect your capacity so you can keep doing the work that matters. In short, mediators carry other people's conflict. Without active management, that weight accumulates into stress and burnout that quietly destroys your effectiveness. The good news, burnout is not inevitable. It is the predictable result of specific habits, and it can be interrupted with a clear, repeatable system. Recognize the early warning signs before depletion becomes structural. Build a recovery routine that runs between sessions, not just after crises. Set and hold limits on your caseload, availability, and emotional exposure. Definition: mediator stress burnout is the progressive exhaustion of emotional, cognitive, and physical resources that accumulates when a mediator absorbs sustained conflict without adequate recovery. It differs from ordinary tiredness. It is rooted in emotional labor, vicarious stress, and the relentless pressure of holding neutrality under fire. I watched a colleague dissolve a difficult six-hour session between two business partners who had spent 3 years in open warfare. She was brilliant in the room. 6 weeks later, she cancelled 4 sessions in a row, citing illness. When I spoke to her, she was not sick. She was empty. She had given everything to that case, and a dozen others like it, and no one, including herself, had thought to ask what she was running on. Mediator stress burnout does not announce itself loudly. It arrives quietly, case by case, until the person who is once most present in the room becomes the most absent. This article gives you a practical system to prevent that, and to recover if you are already in it. Why mediation exhausts you in ways other work does not. Most work tires you. Mediation depletes you differently. When you sit between two people locked in genuine hostility, your nervous system does not simply observe. It responds. You read micro-expressions, regulate your own reactions, track multiple narratives at once, and hold impartiality while one or both parties may be directing real anger into the room. That is an extraordinary cognitive and emotional load. The effort required for de-escalating arguments during meetings is already significant, but in mediation you carry it alone and you are not a participant with an interest, you are the container. The compounding effect is what catches most mediators off guard. One difficult session is manageable. 8 in a fortnight, without genuine recovery between them, produces something closer to secondary trauma than ordinary tiredness. And the professional norm of appearing calm and capable makes it easy to deny the toll until it is substantial. What burnout actually looks like in a practitioner. The first sign really looks like burnout. It looks like a bad week. You notice you are slower to quiet the internal commentary during a session. You take one party's position slightly personally, in a way you would not have 3 months ago. You feel a flicker of irritation at a client who has every right to be distressed. These are not character flaws. They are signals, and they deserve your attention the same way a warning light on a dashboard does. Later signs include dreading sessions you once found genuinely interesting, emotional flatness during what should be meaningful conversations, and a creeping cynicism about whether any of it actually helps. If you have been both participant and mediator in a conflict, you already know how much more draining that double role is. Now imagine carrying that weight across every case, without respite. What needs to be in place before you can protect yourself? 2 things must be honest before any recovery system can work. First, you need a clear-eyed read on your current state. Not the professional face, not the answer you would give a supervisor. Your actual state, sleep quality, capacity for empathy in your personal relationships, and whether you're looking forward to your next session or quietly hoping it cancels. If you cannot be honest with yourself here, no system will save you. Second, you need to accept that sustainability is a professional responsibility, not a personal indulgence. A mediator who is emotionally depleted cannot hold neutrality. They cannot read the room. They cannot resolve interpersonal tension through empathy when their own reservoir is dry. Protecting their capacity is not self-preservation at the expense of clients. It is how you remain useful to them. A 6-step system for managing stress before it becomes burnout. This sequence is designed to be practical. Run it on a weekly basis, and after every high-intensity session. Number 1. Run a weekly state check. Sit with 5 honest questions. How is my sleep? Am I irritable with people I care about? Did I feel present in my last session? Am I avoiding reviewing my notes from a recent case? Have I thought about a client situation outside of work hours? These are your early indicators. If two or more answers concern you, treat it as a signal, not a coincidence. Number 2. Build a pre-session boundary ritual. Before each mediation, give yourself 10 minutes. Not to review files. To settle, slow your breathing, name what you are bringing into the room, and consciously set it aside. Say internally, my role today is to hold the space, not to resolve my own concerns inside it. This brief ritual creates a psychological threshold between your life and your practice. Number 3. Contain the conflict inside the session. This is where tension management skills become a personal tool, not just a professional one. When a session intensifies, notice your own physical responses, a tightening in the chest, a slight holding of breath, a jaw that clenches. These are your body signals that you are absorbing rather than processing. Pause the session briefly if needed. Say, let us take 90 seconds here. I want to make sure we are all tracking clearly before we continue. That pause serves you as much as the parties. Number 4. Run a post-session decompression routine. Every session, not just the hard ones. Walk for 10 minutes. Do not listen to anything. Let your mind settle. Then write 2 sentences what the session demanded of you and what you are leaving behind. This is a containment practice. It signals to your mind that the session is closed and the conflict belongs to the parties, not to you. Many mediators find that without this step, sessions bleed into evenings and disrupt sleep. Number 5. Audit your caseload honestly every month. Look at your diary for the past 4 weeks. Count the high conflict sessions cases involving entrenched parties, personal attacks, grief, or power imbalances. If more than half your sessions fall into that category, you're running a schedule that will produce burnout regardless of your skill. Diversify your caseload where you can. Lower intensity sessions are not lesser work. They are the recovery periods that make the harder work sustainable. Number 6. Build a deliberate restorative practice. This is not the same as rest. A walk is rest. A restorative practice is something that actively replenishes what mediation depletes: creative work, physical movement, connection with people who have nothing to do with conflict resolution, time in nature, weeding that has no professional application. You choose it. The only criterion is that it gives back energy rather than demanding it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. When you are already depleted, recovery without walking away. Sometimes you will not catch it early. You will read this and recognize that you are already past the warning stage. Here is what that looks like and what to do about it. If you are emotionally flat in sessions, you need to reduce your caseload now, not gradually. Take 2 weeks at reduced volume. Use the decompression routine after every session, even short ones. Tell someone you trust, one colleague or supervisor, what you're experiencing. The isolation of carrying this alone is itself part of what sustains burnout. If you're having intrusive thoughts about cases outside work hours, the emotional residue has not been contained. Go back to the post-session writing practice, but expand it. Write 3 sentences about the case, then 3 sentences about why the outcome is the party's responsibility, not yours. Then close the notebook. The act of physically closing it matters. It is a signal your mind responds to. Using tools like the CORE framework for staying grounded during tense conversations can help you maintain composure in session, but recovery from burnout requires the same discipline applied to your own inner state, not just the room. Where mediators go wrong when they try to self-protect. The 2 most common errors are worth naming directly. The mistake: waiting until burnout is undeniable before addressing it. Why it happens? Practitioners who are skilled at managing other people's distress often apply the same minimizing skills to their own. What to do instead? Treat the early signals, the irritability, the dread, the flatness, as diagnostic information. Act on 2 signals, not 5. The mistake: confusing business with purpose and taking more cases when the work feels hollow. Why it happens? When emotional depletion sets in, some mediators unconsciously respond by doing more, hoping the work itself will refuel them. What to do instead? More sessions will not restore meaning. A genuine restorative practice will. Using structured methods like the deal method can make in-session work more efficient, reducing the drain per session, but the recovery still happens outside the room. The mistake. Treating limits as a sign of inadequacy. Why it happens. The culture around conflict resolution often celebrates those who can handle the most difficult cases without visible strain. What to do instead? Limits are craft. A mediator who can hold 10 sessions a month at full capacity is more useful than one who holds 20 at diminishing returns. Frame your boundaries as quality control, then hold them. Your mediator well-being checklist. Run this checklist every Friday afternoon. It takes 4 minutes. I slept adequately on most nights this week. I felt genuinely present in at least one session, not just professionally functional. I completed a decompression routine after each session, including short ones. I did not think about a client's case during personal time for more than a few minutes. I have one restorative activity scheduled for this weekend that has nothing to do with conflict resolution. My caseload this month includes at least some lower intensity sessions. I have spoken honestly with at least one trusted person about how I'm finding the work right now. If you can check 4 or more of these, you are managing well. If fewer than 4, something needs to change before next week. Be specific which item failed, and what is one action you can take by Wednesday to address it. For pre-session scripts and language tools that reduce the cognitive load you carry into a room, those resources can cut the effort each session demands and free up reserves for recovery. The work is only worth doing if you can keep doing it. This much I know for certain: the mediators I have seen do this work with lasting quality are not the ones with the highest tolerance for pain. They're the ones who built a practice around their own well-being with the same rigor they brought to their methods. They treated their own depletion as information, not weakness. They held limits and kept them. They recovered deliberately. Mediator stress burnout does not take your competence first. It takes your presence. And without presence, the skills count for very little. You came to this work because you believed in what it could do. Protect that belief by protecting the person who holds it. Frequently asked questions. What is mediator stress burnout? Mediator stress burnout is the gradual depletion of emotional, mental, and physical resources that happens when a mediator absorbs too much conflict over time without adequate recovery. It differs from ordinary work fatigue because it builds from exposure to other people's hostility, grief, and distress. How do I know if I'm experiencing mediator stress burnout? Common signs include dreading sessions you once found engaging, feeling emotionally flat during a mediation, taking sides internally, snapping at people outside of work, or lying awake replaying difficult exchanges. If this sounds familiar, you're likely past early stress and into genuine depletion. How long does mediator burnout take to develop? Mediator stress burnout rarely arrives suddenly. It builds across weeks or months of high conflict sessions without proper recovery. Most mediators report that they notice warning signs for some time before acknowledging them, which is why a regular self-check practice matters. Can a mediator recover from burnout while still taking cases? Yes, but only if you reduce the volume, increase recovery time between sessions, and address the structural causes. Trying to push through without changing anything almost always deepens the depletion. Recovery and active practice can coexist, but not at your previous pace. What is the fastest way to decompress after a difficult mediation session? A short physical reset works fastest. Walk for 10 minutes, do 5 slow breaths outdoors, or drink water away from your desk. Physical movement interrupts the stress cycle more effectively than talking or reviewing notes. The goal is to signal to your body that the session is over. How do I set boundaries as a mediator without seeming uncommitted? Boundaries are professional, not personal. Limiting your caseload, ending contact outside agreed hours, and declining sessions when depleted are acts of craft, not weakness. A mediator who burns out helps no one. Frame limits as quality control, because that is precisely what they are. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.